So about two decades since What Color Was Your Parachute, America finally has a place to talk about its underemployment.
My family and I got into debt because my husband was unemployed for almost 2 years. When I did return to a job paying what we thought was a decent salary, it certainly wasn't enough. We were so far behind just on basic bills that we're trying desperately to play catch up. We've both had to since take on additional ways to earn a living, and that has certainly stressed us in a huge way.
Additional ways to earn a living. That's the subject for this week. We want to hear your story about how you're getting by. Are you working three jobs, working under the table? Are you involved in a temp job or freelance gigs without benefits? How are you making it? How aren't you? Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And the reason it occurred to us to focus on underemployment this week is that so many people who are in the job market, part-time workers, contingent workers, temporaries, distressed, discouraged, fill-ins, per diems, all these familiar terms are not measured. They constitute a gray area in the labor market. Many of them would like to be full-time and get the benefits that go with them, but they can't find the jobs that would deliver those benefits. Well, in the first installment of this series about growing part-time workers and the underemployed, Paul Osterman, who's a professor of human resources and management at the MIT Sloan School of Management, joins us. Paul, thanks so much for being a part of the program.
Happy to. Thank you.
I mean, it's frustrating to me to think that, for decades, it seems like almost three decades, we've been talking about entrepreneurs and sort of strategic employment and, you know, people using flex time and having home offices, that the underemployed would be so unmeasured in the unemployment stats.
Well, we actually do have some sense of that. So the official unemployment rate today is about 6.5%.
Right.
It's gone up substantially. If you add to that people who are working part-time but would like to have a full-time job, that's about another 7 million people. And if you add to those folks people who would like to find work but have given up, what we call marginally attached to labor force, you end up with a total, what you might call underutilization rate, of just under 12%. It nearly doubles the unemployment rate.
And I guess the question would be, how much of that underemployed, the temporary workers who would like to find full-time work, are actually an unmeasured engine of positive growth versus a sense of frustration that they can't find the job that they're looking for?
Oh, there's nothing positive. If you're working part-time but you want a full-time job, or you'd like to work but you feel you can't find a job, you've given up, you're discouraged, there's nothing positive about that. These are people who are in serious trouble. They're in trouble in much the same way that somebody who's unemployed, as we usually understand the term, is unemployed.
So let's talk then specifically about employers. It seems from these statistics that there's a lot more flexibility for employers in the way they categorize their workers than there is for workers attempting to get by in this economy.
Right. So starting in the, say, mid-1980s and going forward, firms started looking for ways to, and there's a lot of euphemisms here, right-size, downsize, delayer, make more flexible their workforce. So they used a variety of strategies. Contingent work, temporary work is one, part-time work is another. A huge strategy, very important, is outsourcing. Instead of having the work done by your employees on site, you hire another firm to do the work for you. All of these are ways to create more flexibility from the employer's perspective. But from the worker's perspective, it creates much more uncertainty and insecurity. And that's been a substantial trend.
Does this argue for some sort of national policy to take underemployed workers, temporary workers, and put them under some sort of benefit umbrella that would give them a minimum set of benefits or a minimum set of security?
Yes, it does. There's actually two sets of issues. One is figuring out who's the kind of real employer, who's responsible for health and safety, who's responsible for making sure that there's not sexual discrimination and so on. And these different kinds of employment arrangements create some ambiguity about who's the legally responsible employer. And then the second issue is people who are contingent, who are contract workers, who are temporary, are much less likely to have health insurance. They're much less likely to have pensions. And that, as we all know, creates significant problems both for them and actually for the economy as a whole.
we've mentioned mostly temporary workers or people who are working in these kind of contract per diem arrangements, but I'm wondering if there's any statistics on how people who are the so-called discouraged workers, the people who have given up, how they're getting by. What sorts of strategies work in that? I wouldn't even call it a gray area. It's probably darker than gray.
Well, in terms of how they're getting by, what you see in a recession like this is that when somebody loses their job, if there's another family member, that person enters the labor force. So that, of course, then if you have kids, puts enormous pressure on your family in terms of childcare arrangements of a variety of kinds, puts just much more tension in your life. So one way people get by is by having family members or relatives help them out by entering the workforce. Beyond that, it's tough to get by. Some people have unemployment insurance, but over the years, the number of people who are eligible for unemployment insurance has fallen.
And if you're in this temporary worker world, you aren't eligible for unemployment at all.
That's exactly right. And we need to update our unemployment insurance system. Today's unemployment insurance system is basically based on the assumption that there's a full-time worker who, often a male, that's the assumption, who has temporarily lost his job and is going to get recalled.
And that's not the way it works anymore.
That's not the world we live in anymore, but that's the world of the unemployment insurance system. We need to update that.
So, Paul, the takeaway on this conversation, it seems to me, is that for at least half and maybe most of the people who are categorized in this sort of absolute 12 million unemployed workers, underutilized workers, half of them have no social cushion really at all if they are to lose their job, right?
Well, I would say more than half of them. I mean, people who are unemployed have little social cushion too, right? So we're talking about 12% of the workforce are either unemployed or working part-time involuntarily or are discouraged in some real sense. About 12% of the civilian workforce is in one of those categories. Many of those people, most of those people, are very much on the margin. It's a very difficult situation for them.
And it's going to just get worse with the numbers over the next year. Paul Osterman, Professor of Human Resources and Management at the MIT Sloan School of Management, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor Osterman joined us from WGBH, our partners in Boston, Massachusetts.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.